Welcome to Real Church for Real People, everybody. So glad you've joined us this weekend, and glad you are here on this beautiful Sunday. Isn't it an amazing day outside? At least that's what I've been told. I have not been outside for 6 hours, but I've been told it is amazing, and I'm glad you joined us on days like this. Man, I'm glad for the seasons changing. And glad you are in church. We are starting a brand new series this weekend, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. It's going to lead us into Easter, which is a little bit earlier than usual this year, so it is coming up. It's only 4 weeks away, believe it or not, and our teams have been planning and preparing all of our locations for a great Easter. So I want to encourage you to be praying about who you're going to invite and bring with you for Easter this year. I believe it's going to be a very special Easter, and the weekend before that is our Easter offering. So if you're new to our church, we actually do something every Christmas and Easter where a week or two before we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. So all of us who are followers of Jesus, we celebrate what he has done for us by giving and being generous to help others. And this year in our Easter offering, we have three focuses that I want to share with you that I'm very excited about. The first is feeding people in need. Throughout what we call Journey City, which is a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location here in Newark. We've identified access to fresh, quality food as one of the biggest needs in that circle. And this Easter, through your generosity, we intend to purchase a food truck, a mobile food distribution truck, so that we can bring fresh, quality food at no cost to the people and communities who need it most in our region. So yeah, I'm fired up about that. So that's the first thing we're focused on. The second one I'm very passionate about as well, and that is developing leaders, planting new churches, not only in our region, but around the country, and then helping pastors. This is something that over the past few years, God has really been speaking to me and Susie about, just sharing our lives and the resources and what God is doing here at the Journey with other pastors to encourage and support them. We're already doing that, but through your Easter offering, we're going to do more of that. We're going to develop leaders. We're going to start churches. We're going to change the world together. It's an amazing way to make a difference. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And then last but not least, we'll take that final third of our Easter offering, and we're going to set it aside for further expansion in Journey City, for our church to make room for more people to find Jesus and follow him fully. If you were here last Easter in our Easter offering, you gave to finish the launch budget for our Middletown location, which is doing amazing every week. I get incredible reports from Middletown, so I'm fired up about that. And you guys are, man, every time you clap, I get a little more, you know what that does to a preacher, right? I'm like, yeah, let's go. So, all right. We could be here for hours. You never know what could happen. So, you stopped. You're like, no. Enjoy our afternoon. But I'm very excited about Middletown. And last year, we saw just the tangible results of your generosity. Launched a new location, more people finding Jesus and following him fully. We have some very exciting opportunities to expand in the months and years to come. I just can't tell you about them yet. All right, so our board has been working very diligently. We have some things I'm not quite ready to bring you, but I promise you, God has some big things in store for our church, and we're going to take part of our Easter offering and just set it aside. We won't use it for our week to week, month to month. We'll set it aside so that when God opens a door, we can walk through it. So I want to encourage you to pray, listen, and if you're part of this community of faith or just love what God is doing here, be prepared to give that weekend before Easter in our Easter offering. Sound good to everybody? All right, good. So as we jump into this new series, we're talking about game changers. You know, a game changer is really an event or a person or a moment that causes things to change, right? Causes things to shift. And a lot of things can feel like game changers. When you get a new job, sometimes that feels like a game changer. When you go into a new grade or a new year of college, it can feel like, man, it's a game changer. Just all things are kind of being reset. I've got new opportunities. When you meet a new person, sometimes it feels like a game changer. Sometimes we meet people and they do not change the game. But sometimes we meet someone and we realize later, man, that was a key relationship, that was a key moment, and just that conversation or that friendship or that became the person I ended up marrying, spending the rest of my life with, just, it was a game changer. When you win the Powerball, that's a game changer. How many of us would agree? I haven't really won the Powerball. I'm just assuming it would be a game changer. How many of us have our most spiritual moments when we drive by the billboard that says what the Powerball is? We're like, never been closer to God than at that moment. We're like, God, change the game, change the game. And those are just game changers. So Jesus talked a lot about spiritual game-changing decisions, these crossroads moments in our lives when we really need to make a decision. And if we make the right decision, it can change the game. It can shift things for us. And that's what this series is about. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some of the things that Jesus said that he really believed, if we'd allow them to, that they could change the game for us, no matter where we're starting from spiritually. And for some of us, maybe you're brand new to all of this. You're still trying to figure out what you believe about Jesus and church, and it's all kind of new information to you. Maybe you've put your faith in Jesus recently, and now you're wondering, what's next? What now? How do I go grow from here? Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while like I have, but God is drawing you into more. He's making you aware that he has more for you. That's what's going on in my life right now. And wherever you are, these are game-changing moments with Jesus. That's what we're being invited into over the next few weeks. So as we jump in today, how many of us have ever felt like a fake? How many, just be honest and say, you've ever felt like you were kind of acting like someone you weren't? Anybody just be honest? Okay, just a few of us. How many of us have ever noticed someone else being a fake? Show of hands. Okay, now every hand's kind of going up. It's like so much easier to see it in other people, right? And man, we all fake it at times. I have in my life, all of us have had a moment when we acted like someone we weren't really on the inside. But you know, over time, that can be exhausting. To continue to live with this misalignment between who we are on the inside and how we're acting or representing on the outside, that's exhausting. And I've been there. I've felt the shame of not being completely honest with someone in my life and just maybe not being totally truthful about what was really going on inside of me. I felt the pressure of acting a certain way because I assumed that's what people around me expected. And when I reflect on those moments when there's not alignment between the inside and the outside of my life, I have to ask myself a very tough question. Here it is. Are the values and priorities I say I have actually real? Are the values and priorities that I say I have, the things that I would say matter to me, if you looked at my life for a while, would you see evidence that that was in fact true? That there's alignment between what I say matters and how I live my life. And Jesus spoke to these moments in our lives when we notice a gap or notice a misalignment. He spoke to that at a very profound level. In fact, Jesus taught that who we are will always eventually show up in the way we live. That you can fake it for a while, but none of us can fake it forever. And eventually, the way we live is going to reveal who we actually are, which is why Jesus asks all of us who say we believe in him a very challenging question. Here it is. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? In other words, Jesus is saying, is the faith you say you have real? Or are you just faking it? Are you just saying words, but your life actually doesn't back it up? And by the way, again, if you would say that you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you don't even call Jesus Lord. So you could take a big sigh of relief here. This is not for you. It's for all of us who do call him Lord. All of us who say, yes, Jesus is what I'm all about. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is asking all of us who would say that, why are you saying that when you don't do what I say to do? Tough question. Not long after Susie and I started the journey, we had an intern who worked with us for a while, and he's a great guy, very talented, very creative, young and energetic, and he's also very helpful, one of the most helpful people I've ever met. And he was always asking me, he would ask me multiple times a day, can I get you anything? Do you need anything? He seemed a little obsessed with making sure I had enough coffee. You know, he's always like, do you need some coffee? He would offer to carry my backpack. He would run ahead of me and open doors for me. I didn't ask him to do any of this, didn't expect any of this. He was just very helpful. He was very respectful in the way that he addressed me. And there was this beautiful situation, right? There's only one little problem. This is a very little problem. And that is that the one thing he wasn't doing was what I made him an intern to do. That was the only problem. So very helpful. But I told him when I first invited him to be an intern in our church. I was like, here's all I want you to do. Build relationships with people in our church. We were very small at the time, and we were starting to grow. I was like, I need you to build relationships with people, inspire them to live out the purpose that God has put within them, and then give them opportunities to make a difference, to serve, to lead, build teams, raise up leaders. That's all I need you to do. He wasn't doing any of that, but I had lots of coffee. And I remember the day I realized, this is not his fault, this is on me. I have not been as clear as I need to be. And so I sat down with him and I said, look, I'm so grateful for your heart to help me. I'm so thankful. I feel so honored, man. You've nailed kind of that respect thing. It's amazing. But I actually do not need more coffee. I can carry my own backpack. I just need you to do your job, the thing I made you an intern to do. You ever wonder if Jesus looks at all of us who say we are Christians sometimes and says, man, you call me Lord, Lord, you know all the right words to say, but actually I just need you to do your job. The reason I put you on this planet, I need you to actually live like I'm Lord. I don't want you to just call me Lord. I don't want you to just sing songs about me being Lord. I want you to live as if I'm actually Lord. And if you don't consider yourself a believer in Jesus yet, this is probably one of your beefs with all of us who are, that we don't always act like it. Sometimes we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know why I did hand motions. This is the last gathering of the weekend, all right? I'm getting a little crazy. That's all I got. I don't have any more. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you probably have looked at Christians sometimes going, man, it's all talk. And that's unfortunately sometimes true. It's true for me. I don't always walk the walk. So Jesus has my attention here. But I also wonder what some of us hear in his voice when he asks this question. And I think this just stood out to me as I was preparing for this weekend. Man, it's a tough question. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? And I think we imagine the tone of voice that Jesus is using based on how we see him and how we see ourselves. In fact, I think for some of us, when we hear that, our first thought is one of judgment towards someone else. We're like, oh, I know exactly who needs to hear this message. Go get that phony Christian, Jesus. Tell them what they need to hear. And we think about somebody else. I think for others of us, when we hear Jesus say, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I think our first thought is we get a little defensive, a little bit bristly. Because we're like, Jesus, hold on, hold on, hold on. You don't understand my life. And some of us have become experts at explaining why our unique situation makes it impossible for us to do what Jesus teaches right now. And so we get a little bit defensive. We're like, Jesus, come on. You don't know my life. Like, Jesus, I know you think you've been through a lot. But you don't understand. We're like, Jesus, I can't. I mean, I can't break off that relationship that's toxic and is holding me back from you because a lot of moving parts. You don't understand, creator of the universe. Well, it's a little quiet up in here. Jesus, I know that you've called me to use my life to make a difference, but I can't right now. Have you seen my calendar? And so we get a little bristly, like, well, Jesus, what do you mean? Why do I keep calling you Lord, Lord? I have complicated. Our relationship status with Jesus is, it's complicated. I have complications. I have reasons I can't do what you say. So some of us feel a little bit judgmental. Some of us feel a little bit defensive, but here's the one I really want you to catch. I think some of us feel ashamed. I think we hear Jesus saying, why you call me Lord and don't do what I say? And we think, oh yeah, Jesus, I get it. You're frustrated with me again. I would be too. I'm not good enough. I don't know if I'll ever be good enough. I feel that way sometimes. To be honest, it's taken me a long time to begin to learn the difference between the authentic, compassionate voice of Jesus that is sometimes stern and confronts and corrects me, but always in love, to separate that voice from the mean-spirited, self-loathing, never good enough voice in my own head. And when I hear Jesus say this, sometimes I feel a little ashamed because I know there are gaps between the way I'm living and the way he is inviting me to live. But I want you to consider something today. What if instead of feeling judgmental about someone else or defensive for yourself, or instead of feeling ashamed, what if we could hear Jesus through a different lens and hear him being genuinely curious and concerned? What if he just really wants to know why? What if Jesus is really saying, hey, I don't understand why you would say you believe in me, but not arrange the way you live around me? And I wonder if Jesus is saying, because isn't that kind of exhausting, faking it like that? There's such a better way to live, a rich and satisfying and restful way to live. I wonder if Jesus is just curious and a little concerned. He's saying, hey, why are you calling me Lord if I don't have permission to be Lord of your attitude? And why would you call me Lord if I'm not Lord of who you share your body or your bed with? And why would you call me Lord if I'm not Lord of what you spend your money on or how you arrange your time or how you treat other people? Why would you say things that don't reflect how you really live? No judgment, no edge, just curiosity and concern. You say, why concern? Because you see, for Jesus, at the end of the day, there are only two ways to live. There are a million ways to live short term, by the way. We can come up with all kinds of ways to live our lives. But Jesus insisted that in the end, there are only two. And here's the first one. The first way to live is to do life with him. He says, I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. This is what it looks like to really lean into doing life with Jesus. We move from fan to follower. We come to Jesus. What does that mean? We have looked in 1,000 places for fulfillment, and we have come up empty again and again. So now we come to Jesus, and we surrender to him. And then, not only do we come to Jesus and surrender our lives to him, we begin to listen to his teaching, which means we don't just hear it, it soaks in. It starts to change the way we think and feel and make decisions. And then finally, he says, we do what he says. We actually follow his teaching. We apply it to our lives. And we begin to press in close and follow Jesus. Not perfectly. Our lives don't get fixed overnight. But we begin to press in more and more, and our lives and our decisions begin to revolve not just around what's most convenient or comfortable for us, but around Jesus and his values and his priorities. We go from casual fans to committed followers of Jesus. We're not just in the nosebleeds watching the game from a distance. We've pressed our lives up close to Jesus, and we're doing what he says. When it helps, and even when it seems to hurt. When it's easy, and when it's a bit of a sacrifice. We're doing what Jesus says. So this is why we gather on weekends like this. We can come to Jesus, and there's a first coming to Jesus, but I don't know about you, I need to come to Jesus over and over again. I just need to keep coming back to him. And that's what we can do in environments like this. It's why we connect in J groups throughout the week. We're doing life with people going the same direction. And our faith is being formed. We're learning through those relationships how to follow Jesus. That's why we serve on the J team. It's why we take steps of leadership so we can live out our faith. We're not just all talk. We're actually arranging our lives around Jesus and his values and his priorities. But the game changer isn't just being in those environments and having those habits. It's actually following Jesus. In fact, he says, this is what it's like. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm. Why? Because it is well built. Did you know that any house is only as strong as its foundation? You can look at two houses and they can look exactly the same from the outside, but when the storm comes, it's clear which one has a solid foundation and which one does not. You can't fake a foundation long term. And foundations, by the way, are not glamorous. They're not exciting. Nobody walks by a house and goes, "Whoo, check out that foundation." The work that it takes to build a foundation is invisible. It goes unrecognized. It is hard, painful work down below the surface of the earth, down below the surface of our lives is where we lay or do not lay a foundation for our lives. And Jesus says the same as a person building a house on a firm foundation, that's the kind of person who builds their life on me. And who understands that our faith is only as good as its foundation. Our faith is only as good as its foundation. So if we want a game-changing life with Jesus, it starts with our foundation. What are we building our life on? So let me ask you, week one of the series, how solid is the foundation of your life? And for some of us, we need to be encouraged. It is more solid than you think it is. Because if you are building your life on Jesus, it is solid rock. And if you are doing the hard work of pressing in and following Jesus, don't mistake the presence of a storm as a sign of spiritual weakness. The storms come to all houses, but the houses that are built on Jesus can stand the test of the storm. That's the difference. And some of us this weekend need to be encouraged because we are building our lives on Jesus. And your house is well built. It's not well built because you're awesome. It's well built because he's awesome and you're building it on him. And your life is going to stand the test of time, not because you're holding your life together through your own effort, but because Jesus is holding your life together through his grace and his power. And it makes all the difference when he's your foundation. Our faith is only as good as his foundation, and you can't fake a foundation. But when you're building your life on Jesus, when the floodwaters come, and they will, it's when, not if. When your mental health is low, when your parent is sick or your kid is in crisis, when your finances are tight or some past failure is threatening to swallow up your current hope, in those moments of difficulty and stress and storm, be encouraged. Christ is your firm foundation. And if you are building your life on him, the waters will still rise, but your life will stand firm. And you'll be able to weather the storm and you will come out on the other side even stronger. Jesus is the foundation. But I want you to notice that we are in partnership with him building the house. Our son Connor has autism, and every time we drive by a construction site, he always asks the same question. What are they building? What are they building? And I try to give him a good answer, but I'm not a construction expert, so sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I get it wrong, and he corrects me. He always knew. What are they building? What are they building, Dad? What are they building? What are they building? I think he's so curious. Whenever he sees a work in progress, he just wants to know, what are they building? I think Jesus is doing the same thing as he looks at our lives. He's asking, what are they building? What kind of life are they constructing? Are they using the right materials for the job? And Jesus says that the right materials, when we put our faith in him as the foundation of our lives, that when we start building a life, it's active. We're partnered with God in building this life. And he says that his teachings are the right building materials. In fact, in this same chapter in Luke, Jesus talks about some of his teachings. And he says, here's how you build a life that you're not just a fan who appreciates me from a distance, but you're a follower living up close with me. Here's how you build a life. He says, love your enemies. And for some of us, we're like, no, Jesus, give me something deeper. I need something really deep. You know, sometimes when we want something really deep, it's so we can deflect our disobedience on the simple things we're not doing. Jesus is like, love your enemies. We're like, no, but can you tell me what that means in the Greek? Yes, love your enemies. That's what that means in the Greek. He says, give generously to help others and don't worry about whether they can or will pay you back. He says, act in compassionate ways, especially toward those who aren't like you or don't like you. I love this. Jesus says, don't judge other people. Again, we're like, Jesus, you got anything else? Don't judge other people. How many of us honestly find it difficult to go 72 hours without judging somebody for something? If you didn't raise your hand, I'm judging you right now. I just can't believe you. This weekend, I was driving here to preach, and the person in front of me was driving very slowly. And at first, I was concerned. I thought they had a condition in their foot. And I was thinking, heal them, Lord. But then I found myself wanting to send them the signal as a Christian that you want to send, which is to passive aggressively get a little bit closer. And then I felt like Jesus was saying, hey, what are you preaching about again this weekend? Jesus says, don't judge other people. Be patient with other people. Forgive people. Give to people. Right before he asked the question, by the way, if you want to know what led to the question, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, don't do what I say. Right before that, he says, hey, stop worrying about everybody else's issues and focus on your own. What are you building? And I know for some of us as Christians sometimes, we can fall, again, if you're not a Christian, aren't you glad just for this moment? I mean, you need to become one, but for this moment, you can like look around at the Christians and be like, you know that's right. For all of us who are followers of Jesus, I think sometimes we fall into this place, I do, where you know what we do? We sing more songs to Jesus, which I'm all for. We listen to more sermons about Jesus, which I'm all for. We read more books about Jesus, listen to more podcasts about Jesus. We do everything except actually living like Jesus called us to live. And I wonder sometimes if Jesus is saying, I don't need more coffee. Just do your job. I put you on this planet to grow more and more like me, to reflect me to a world that is hurting. And I just need you to do your job. That's the first way to live. We come to Jesus. We listen. And we let what Jesus teaches begin to shape what we value. And then we actually do it. We do what he says. But there is a second way to live. And here it is. But anyone who hears, Jesus says, and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. When I was a kid, my friends and I decided we were going to build a fort. And we went around collecting all the building materials we could find. We stole a lot of stuff, just to be honest with you. It was before I knew Jesus. And we took stuff out of our parents' house that we probably shouldn't have. And we were going to build this fort. And I just knew this fort is going to be my legacy. I was like 9. I was like, it's gonna stand years from now. People will walk by this fort and think, Mark Johnston. How many of us know that fort? I don't even know if it lasted the summer. So poorly built. We just built it right on the ground. We didn't know anything about a foundation. And I think for some of us that say Jesus is Lord, unfortunately, that's how we're living our lives. And it's not that we're not building anything. Our house may look very impressive from the outside. It's just that there's nothing underneath it. And we're choosing who we'll become, and we're choosing what we're gonna believe and value and which voices we're gonna listen to based on what's comfortable or convenient or popular or attractive or feels good in the moment instead of the values of Jesus. For some of us, listen, there's no condemnation. It's just maybe that game-changing moment some of us need, that our search histories and our bank accounts and our calendars and our text threads are full of priorities that simply don't reflect the priorities of Jesus. And we say he is Lord, but we're living more like fans. Go, Jesus. Instead of followers, we cheer him on the weekend. Don't think a whole lot about his values during the week. And the problem with all of that is we've forgotten that our faith is only as good as its foundation. And here's why Jesus is concerned. He's not condemning. He's not mad. He's not judgmental. He's curious and a little concerned. Here's why. Because the storms are going to come. You say, I wish you'd be more positive. Okay. I'm positive that the storms are going to come. You say, when are they coming? I have no idea. What will they look like? I don't know. I just know that at some point, every house, every life will face a storm that's a game-changing storm. And in that moment, Jesus says, it just won't matter how much money's in your house, how much success is in your house, how many friends you had to earn by compromising what mattered are in your house. Only thing that's going to matter is the foundation. Because anyone who builds his house on Jesus will start by coming to Jesus, surrendering. Really, Jesus said, if you want to keep your life, you got to be willing to let go of it. And they'll listen to his teachings. They won't make excuses. And they won't just hear it and say, oh, that's good. They'll let it soak in. And people who come to Jesus aren't constantly thinking someone else needs to hear this message. They're thinking, I need to hear this message. And then they actually do what Jesus says. They begin to arrange their lives more and more around his priorities and values. And it shows, because your faith is only as good as your foundation. So week one of the series, here's the game-changing moment. Over the next few weeks, Jesus is inviting us to take another step spiritually, to press up close to him. And this is going to be the toughest message of the series to set the stage. Are you willing to cross that line and say, yeah, I'm open to that? So week one of the series, if you would say, I don't want to just be a fan. I don't want to just be someone who fakes a faith that isn't real at 2:47 on a Tuesday afternoon or 11:30 on a Friday night. I want to follow Jesus. Would you just lift your hand if you'd say, that's my heart. That's what I need God's help with all over the room. Let me pray it over us. Father, we love you. Jesus, you are, it's not just words in a song, you are the firm foundation of our lives. And we, even though this is such a challenging moment with you, it's also a deeply fulfilling one because we sense your presence here right now. You're not mad at us. You're not here to condemn us, but you are here to challenge us to dig deep over the next few weeks leading into Easter and make sure the foundation's strong in our lives, in our priorities, in our relationships. And Jesus, we pray you'll give us strength for that, to build a good house, a good life, not that it's good because the world's impressed with it, but it's good because it's built on you. We'll stand through the storm. And while you let Jesus speak to you about that for a moment more, if you're here today and you don't have a real relationship with God yet, maybe you're not ready to take that step, and that's okay. Just come back next weekend. I think you owe it to yourself to give this a few weeks and see what God might want to do in your life. But if God's been drawing you to him, he's been working to get your attention, it was for a moment like this one when you would realize that you don't have anything underneath your life and that any success you can achieve in this world is going to ultimately be empty if it's not built on something beyond you. Faith in Jesus is that foundation. The good news about him is he died to forgive our sins and he rose again to give us the power to live a new kind of life. And when you build on that foundation of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, you can stand firm through the storms of life. And if that's you today, you want to take that step to begin following Jesus, I'm going to lead us in prayer again. This is your moment. I want everyone to join me. Open your heart up big to God. And if that's you today, you're saying, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today, I believe in you. I surrender my life to you. By your power, I'm going to follow you. I want to build my life on the foundation of who you are and what you've done. Save me now. And if that's you, well, everyone says focus on God. If you would say, I'm taking that step today, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, would you lift your hand, just hold it up high, boldly, yes, yes, yes.